Okay, we start our April meeting, and we're going to start with the IFRIC update, and I give the floor to Katrina.
Good morning. The Interpretations Committee met on the 22nd of March, and it's agenda paper 12 in your pack that includes the IFRIC update, summarising what the committee discussed. I'm just going to highlight a couple of the decisions of more relevance. The first is to say that the Interpretations Committee recommended making narrow amendments to two standards. The first relates to IAS 16, and specifically there it's to do with a question about proceeds from selling items that an entity might get during the process of when an item of PP&E is being made ready for use. So for example, if you're doing some testing on the piece of PP&E, you might actually get some income from it. The amendment that the Interpretations Committee are suggesting is to actually prohibit any deduction of those proceeds from the cost of PP&E, you know, up until the point that the PP&E is ready for use. So that's the first, and that should be pretty narrow. The second amendment they're proposing, again, is a narrow amendment to IAS 12. And this relates specifically to the presentation of income tax. And it's the presentation of any income tax that arises from payments on instruments that are classified as equity. So basically, at the minute, within paragraph 52B of IAS 12, there's some quite confusing wording just about how those, you know, how the presentation requirements work and in what circumstances they can be applied. And that sort of confusing wording has created some diversity in how people have interpreted those requirements. So the Interpretation Committee is proposing a narrow amendment to IAS 12 just to clarify those presentation requirements. So that's the two narrow amendments being proposed. I'll also just highlight some of the agenda decisions. The committee finalised four agenda decisions. A couple of those are really ongoing issues. So I will highlight that they finalised an agenda decision on an IAS 32 issue to do with prepaid cards. That's one that had been ongoing for some time, but is now finalised. Secondly, I just want to draw out that they have finalised an agenda decision to do with variable payments on asset purchases. They finalised that, of course, though, on the basis that really the issue is too broad for the committee to address at this time based on existing requirements. During the course of looking at that issue, they identified there is significant diversity in practice about how variable payments, variable consideration are treated. It is also widespread, and it's a cross-cutting issue that really has been raised with the Interpretations Committee on a number of occasions. And I suppose that led that there was pretty strong recommendation from the committee so that it is a topic that the board should consider, you know, looking at on a more holistic basis. So with that, that's all I was going to highlight. I don't know if anybody has any particular questions.
Mary.
I've got one on something you didn't cover, which is the tentative agenda decision. And I just wanted to flag that as I read through that, which is about joint arrangements and IFRS 10, the intersection, it reminded me very much of the exposure draft that I think the Interpretation Committee has recommended that the board issue and that we're in the process of developing. And it seems to me, as much as I hate having things hanging around for the board is working on things, it seems to me that this is so closely related in terms of the set of issues about when do you and when don't you have a significant economic event that triggers remeasurement, that I don't see why they're two different paths. And I would think if we do go ahead with the exposure draft, it might make, you know, since we're planning to go ahead with the exposure draft, it might make sense to bring those together rather than having a non-authoritative, we aren't, you know, going to deal with it decision.
I mean, I can only, I'll explain briefly, but then I'll hand over to the experts here who know more about this. I suppose all I can say around what led to this, first of all, it is just tentative agenda decision, so I suppose we wait.
That's why I'm speaking up now, rather than...
exactly, and so we can think about your comment as well, together with any, you know, comments we get back on it. But I think, at least on this one, it's one that... I think the Interpretations Committee, and I suppose we as staff as well, lined up more closely with the IFRS 10 IS 28, as you'll read in the decision, because it's about loss of control, and that IFRS 10 IS 28 sort of amendment that has been deferred seemed to be more directly about loss of control. And I know it's one that at least we did come and talk to the board about back in October, November, before going, you know, to see if there was any appetite at the board level for the Interpretations Committee to kind of proceed with this, and we didn't read any appetite at that time. But
it's not that I've gotten hungry, it's that I'm now connecting the dots with other things that have been in process and maybe not as visible.
But I don't... is it something we should follow up, or do you want to...
I would like you to follow up, because I'm not sure that it makes sense to have packages, and this expresses a degree of tentativeness about the understanding of the remeasurement requirements of IFRS 3 that I think is inconsistent with the basis for the conclusions in the exposure draft.
Okay. Any other comments? No? Then we continue with the agenda consultation.
Paper 12A is a very short paper to update you about some changes in our staff thinking about the timing of one of the implementation projects that is underway. That is the classification of liabilities project. This is one where you have been discussing the comments received on the exposure draft in December and February. This project is looking at how liabilities are classified as current versus non-current, and obviously looking at the obligations associated with those. Now, obviously at this board meeting this week, you're going to be starting to look at the feedback received on the conceptual framework ED, which will be looking at possible revisions to the definitions of assets and liabilities and the rights and obligations associated with those. And so we thought that it would be useful to just hold back the remaining deliberations on that classification of liabilities project to see how your deliberations on the framework progress, and then pick these up again at a later date, so that we can look to finalise that classification of liabilities ED in a manner that would be consistent with where you're ending up on the framework. So wanted to ask if you had any questions regarding that.
Philippe?
I agree with the proposal. I think, having looked at a couple of comment letters, the issue is not straightforward. It has some complex dimensions, and I think it makes sense to be sure of what our conceptual basis before we take decisions on that topic.
Okay. I agree with Philippe. There's a lot of people have got a different idea of what the answer is.
Pat?
I don't object to this, but I would be disappointed if the board reversed the position that it has taken to date. So, for example, going down the path that I think Ian had suggested at our last discussion around this, I think would be a step backwards in terms of providing useful information to particularly lenders and creditors, or prospective lenders and creditors of an entity where at the balance sheet date they didn't fulfill the particular obligations under an arrangement. I think April, who's the chairperson on this, actually provides some very cogent arguments and reasons in her paper for why that's more useful information. We have a difference here between US GAAP and IFRS, and I'm strongly of the view, having spent a lot of time looking at this very issue of credit analysts, that IFRS reporting is superior in this arena. So if in fact the reconsideration of the conceptual framework would lead us to softening or weakening the guidance in this area. That would be a disappointment from my perspective.
It's not the idea. The idea is to make sure that we have a sound conceptual basis to confirm the proposal.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, but in terms of process, we have not finalized the framework. So I think it's better to be sure that we have finalized it, and then we can, on that basis, confirm the proposal.
So, for example, if we were to, in the conceptual framework discussions, move off of the notion of no practical ability to avoid, okay, and eliminate that aspect of the definition of liability, I think then, you know, we'd be taking a step backwards. So, anyway, that's my two cents. I won't be around to deliberate that finally, but I think we have a better answer today than we possibly might have in the future. I'll be watching very closely.
I don't object to what's planned, but I have to say that I was a bit surprised that we thought there was really that much interaction between the concepts that we're looking at and just the notions of short and long term, which is really what we're looking at in these amendments. But I don't object to avoid any problems, but I didn't really think it was something we covered in the ED, so I'm a bit surprised that we think there's that much interaction.
I actually think there's more nexus in relationship to some of the discussions we're having in the liabilities equity project than there is around conceptual framework related to the classification amendment, because when you're talking about conditional settlements and whether or not that should have an influence on your classification of debt versus equity, I think that whole debate is more relevant to this one. But the general definition of liability, I don't think it should be relevant to.
I think the main reason the staff are suggesting this is that the discussion in that amendment is all about what are rights and obligations and when do they come into existence. And I think the staff just felt that it would be unfortunate if we ended up baking some words into IS1 that ended up conflicting with the framework in some way. I think we're probably just talking about words
rather
than really
concerns. That's all it is, and that's okay. But I don't think there was anything fundamental about what short or long term type thing and what we looked at.
Okay.